Today's pericope begs the question, what is worship? What does it really mean to worship God? I'm going to get back to that in a moment. Let's look at today and where today's gospel story fits in. Here we are. Jesus is walking with his disciples. He has set his eyes on Jerusalem. He is headed to that ultimate moment in his life. He knows what is coming. He knows where he is headed. He knows what is about to happen. And in the last 3 weeks, he is giving his disciples bits and pieces of his message. But every bit of that message is kind of the gold nuggets. This is the stuff that I want you to remember. These are the final moments I have to teach you everything that I want to give you. Now let's look at today's pericope. Here we see Jesus. He goes to the synagogue temple and stands up to teach. Jesus, again, has set his eyes on Jerusalem. He is headed to Jerusalem. He knows what is coming, and he still goes to worship. He still gathers with other believers because he knows the importance of worship. He knows the importance of gathering together as the body of Christ. And so it is that he gathers together to worship. It is in that worship that Jesus does his work. I love this scene because you wonder about the synagogue leaders as they're sitting there and Jesus is teaching. You wonder what Jesus was teaching at the moment because they must not have been listening. They weren't paying attention to what Jesus was saying because they were watching what he did. Here's the interesting story with today's healing story. Jesus sees the woman bent over and he calls her to himself. Now, what do we know about this woman? We know that she has been afflicted with something for 18 years. We don't know anything about her faith. We don't know anything about her life. We don't know her name. None of those are important. What is important is that Jesus recognizes her and her infirmity, and he wants to set her free. And so during this worship, during this time that they have gathered together, Jesus calls her over and tells her that she has been healed. What an awesome moment. You see, this woman came to church not to be healed. She came to church to worship. Over 18 years, this woman has probably become pretty comfortable with the fact that she was never going to stand again. She was never going to be normal. She was never going to be like everyone else. She had to live with this infirmity. We don't know who she saw. We don't know how many times she attempted to overcome this infirmity. All we know is that she had come to worship. And it is in the body of Christ that she is healed. It is in that time together that she finds her healing. What a wonderful message. Jesus not only heals her, but he sends the message that it is in worship that we find true healing. It is in worship that we are straightened up and relieved of our ailments and set free. But let's look for a moment. Here we have the synagogue leaders who tells the crowds, Sunday is not a time for healing. That's funny. Because there are 7 recorded healings on the Sabbath. Jesus sends a demon out of a man in Mark 1. Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law in Mark 1, 29 to 31. He heals a lame man by the pool of Bethesda in John 5. He heals a man with a deformed hand in Mark 3. Jesus restores a cripple woman in Mark 13. And Jesus heals a man with dropsy in Luke 14. He heals a man born blind in John 9, 1 to 16. So there are 7 different times that Jesus heals on the Sabbath. If it was such a law that you don't heal on the Sabbath, why is Jesus going against it? Because here's the point. The synagogue leaders were looking at healing as a physician's job. It is his job to heal, and so on Sunday that is called work. Jesus is looking at it as a spiritual moment and saying, no, healing brings us life, new life, brings us closer to God. It is part of worship. It is a part of honoring God. You see, true worship is really honoring God by helping others, honoring God in what we do for one another. Do you remember the commandment, the only commandment that Jesus gives us in the New Testament? It is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. It is the only commandment he gives us, and when we fulfill that commandment, it is there that we worship and honor God. And so when Jesus stood up in that synagogue, he wasn't looking at healing as work. He was looking at healing as bringing new life. It was a way of honoring God. It was a way of setting a woman free from an ailment that she had for 18 years. What an awesome moment this is for the woman and for... I guess you can't hear me. For the woman and for all of those gathered in worship that morning. Because here it is, Jesus is going to show them the power of prayer, the power of being together as the body of Christ. Does worship make a difference? Sure does. Everything in our life should be about honoring God, about helping one another, about making things better in the way that we talk, in the way that we work, in the way that we invite others into a relationship with Christ. St. Paul had told us to pray unceasingly. Does that mean to sit and pray? No, it means to turn everything we do into a form of worship, into a way of making God honored by what we do and what we say, by the way we treat one another, by the way we build the body of Christ, by showing others the power of love in their lives. There's the message. There's where true worship happens. You know, when we gather together with one another on Sunday morning, it is here, I always refer to church on Sunday morning as a meal that a family gathers together for. It is during a meal that we feed our bodies to give us energy to go out and to live the life that we need to live. It is during that meal that we gather together and we have conversation and we are united one to another with a common purpose. We find out about each other and then we carry that into our lives. Well, Sunday morning is that time when we gather together as the body of Christ and we hear from Christ what is important, where our souls are fed, where our souls give us the food we need to live our faith the rest of the week. You see, Sunday only makes sense Monday through Saturday. If all we did to live our faith is to come to church on Sunday and then never allow it to make a difference in our daily lives, we've missed the point. All we do is show up for the meal and we never use that meal for anything else. But you see, Christ is inviting us into true worship. He is inviting us to take that faith that we allow to grow when we are together and to make a difference in our lives throughout the week. I grew up in a family of 11. I've talked about it many times before, and I can remember that as we grew up, we always, the one thing that was so important in our house was you always sat down to dinner together. All 11 of us, Mom would have to make dinner, which was a feat in itself. But there were 11, and we always sat down, and no matter where you were or what you were doing, dinner was that time when you gathered together with the family. And I didn't know the importance of that until after everybody started to scatter and jobs and everything else and we started to leave home. But Dad made it such a point that he knew that it was at that table that we were to share stories and grow together. And now that we are scattered and everybody has their own family, we still will call each other and talk to each other because we are a part of each other's lives. You see, faith does the same thing. As we come together and we worship together, as we share our lives together, we become connected one to the other. And it is that faith that unites us. It is that faith that keeps us connected to one another and to Jesus. True worship is honoring God by the way that we honor God and treat one another. Christ is inviting each one of us into such special times in our worship. You see, just as that woman had that ailment for 18 years, there is things in our lives that are holding us back from truly experiencing God's love in our life. What are those things that Christ is inviting us to bring into worship? What are those things that Christ is inviting us to lay at the feet and to allow Him to heal? It could be gossip about one another. It can be that holding back from reaching out and sharing God's love to that neighbor. It can be many different things that get in the way of turning ourselves truly over to God and allowing God to make a difference in our life. Here's the thing. In today's healing story, it was Jesus who reached out to that woman. It was Jesus who reached out and said, "You are healed." If we bring our lives and we come before Christ and we lay our lives before Him and we are totally honest with Him and say, "Lord, this is where I need Your help. This is the area that I'm holding back. This is the area that I can't seem to get over." Lay it at the feet of Christ and watch what He will do. Because Christ is in the business of healing, of bringing us new life, of allowing us to experience God in new ways. And He does it in the slightest moments. So today, as we gather in worship, let us remember that it is really in worshiping God that we grow together. We grow together with one another, and we grow together with God. Christ is inviting us into a healing moment. Are we able to allow God to make a difference in our lives and to allow us to go forth from this worship and to be better and stronger because of the encounter we had with Him here this morning?